I've never been a fan of spending money on those fancy massage chains. Aside from the fact that they were expensive, I always got the impression that I was paying more for the decor of the place than for the service itself. So when I was recommended to an older woman in the neighborhood who offered reasonably priced massages in her home, I thought it might be a good idea. It helped a local person avoid being overpriced, and frankly, the possibility of a more personalized treatment appealed to me. Her house was nothing out of the ordinary. A small, modest structure on a quiet street. There was something comforting about that. About the idea that I wasn't walking into a spa with neon lights and scents that seemed designed to hide something. When I rang the doorbell, I was greeted by a gray-haired lady. She looked in her mid-60s, and her attitude was that of a sympathetic mother. She invited me in with a friendly gesture and led me to a room at the back of the house, which functioned as her small study. The space was cozy, with dim lighting and a massage bed in the center. The atmosphere was simple and unpretentious, exactly what I was looking for. She asked me to take off my shirt and lie face down.
"I'm going to make you feel like new again."
I lay back on the bed, feeling the softness of the mattress under my chest. She began to work with her hands. They were small but firm, and she knew what she was doing. I closed my eyes, letting my muscles relax, enjoying the relief. After a few minutes of massaging, just as I felt myself sinking into that state of deep relaxation, the woman excused herself.
"I have to take a call. I'll be quick."
I found it odd that she told me about a call and I didn't hear anything. But perhaps she had an appointment or was expecting something important. I remained still, waiting for her to return. As I waited, trying to keep myself in that state of calm, several minutes passed and I began to feel uneasy, but not enough to worry. Maybe she had been delayed or the call had been complicated. These were things that one might have to wait to pay a little less. Finally, I heard the door to the room open again, but something made me tense up immediately. The approaching footsteps were heavy, very different from those of the woman. I felt a twinge of unease in my back, but I continued to lie still, waiting for the massage to begin again. When I felt the hands on my skin, I noticed something very different. The hands were large, rough, and with unusual strength. I panicked and tried to get up. It was then that the pressure on my back began to increase. It increased so much that I couldn't move. The person was squeezing me.
"Ooh, I love your skin. It's perfect. Don't worry, I'm my mother's son. I do it as well as she does."
A shiver ran through my body. I was about to turn around when those huge hands pressed me against the bed, crushing my body with brutal force. The lady never mentioned her son. I hadn't seen anyone else in the house when I arrived, yet there he was, squeezing me with terrifying force.
"I apologize in behalf of my mother. She sometimes forgets to tell the clients that she is training me as a massager. You know, it's always been a dream to do this, to touch the skin, to move it back and forth, to squeeze it. Please, let me go. I don't want any more massages. I'll pay you. I'll give you everything I have." "Oh, you make it sound like I'm doing something bad. You better relax and enjoy. This is not about the money."
The man's nails began to dig into my skin, tearing it apart bit by bit as if he wanted to rip me to pieces. His breathing was ragged and heavy. He was as nervous as I was, but his nerves were coming from somewhere else. He was anxious. The pain in my back became unbearable. Every time I tried to move, his fingers dug deeper into my skin, and I could feel his fascination with my body turning into a kind of obsession. With a desperate effort, I stretched my arm toward my pants, searching for anything I could use to defend myself. My fingers found my car key in the front pocket. I pulled it out with difficulty, my hands trembling with fear and adrenaline. I knew I had only one chance. With all my strength, I turned my body just enough to drive the key into his leg. The man screamed in pain. The pressure on my back eased up enough for me to roll over and stand up. My skin burned, and the pain in my back was still latent, but I was free, at least for the moment. The man staggered, clutching his injured leg.
"Ooh, yes, yes, I love it. You left me scarred. It hurts so much."
"You are sick."
On the other side of the door, I heard the lady's voice.
"Are you done with him, honey? Are you satisfied?"
I couldn't believe it. The man was telling the truth. This had all been planned. It wasn't an accident or a coincidence. She knew what her son was doing, and she had no intention of stopping him.
Hurt me. Give me more.
At that moment, the door swiftly opened. The lady walked in. Her face was tense, but not with surprise, but with anger. She looked at me and then saw her son, wounded and withering in pain and happiness.
What did you do to my son?
The situation became completely uncontrollable. Not only was I trapped, but now they were both after me. In pure panic, I grabbed the massage bed and threw it at the two of them. The woman fell to the floor, shocked, and her son backed up a step, still reeling from the pain. I didn't waste a second. I ran down the hallway, desperate to find a way out. I ran down the small hallway of the house, listening to the woman's screams and her son's heavy footsteps behind me. Panic clouded my thoughts, but I knew that if I stopped, I would be finished. I reached the living room, where the front door was only a few feet away. I turned the door handle hard, but it was locked. I looked around for a key, something, anything that might help me get out. Finally, I saw a window. Without thinking, I threw a chair against the glass, shattering it into 1,000 pieces. I crawled through the broken frame, feeling the glass cutting into my arms and legs, but I didn't care. I was out. I was alive. I don't know how long I ran. The streets were empty and the night was deep. I made it to my car, shaking and bleeding, but I didn't stop until I was far, far away from that house. I never passed near that street again. A few hours later, I filed a formal report at the police station. I was too afraid to do it, but I knew I had to do it before someone else was taken care of by that family of psychopaths. After my report, many people said that what I was saying was a lie, that they had never experienced anything like that. But other people couldn't talk. The police knew that several people were missing in that area. And when they linked that family to the disappeared, there was no turning back. The man was convicted of disappearing at least 4 people, and the mother was the accomplice. I may have had the worst afternoon of my life, but these people were never going to disappear people again.
I've never been one to indulge in self-care. Life as a young professional in a bustling city left little room for such luxuries. But after months of grueling hours at work, my body ached for relief, and my mind desperately needed a break from the chaos. So, when I heard about Elysium Touch, the new massage parlor that had opened up just down the street, I was intrigued enough to give it a try. The receptionist greeted me with a warm smile, and a delicate aroma of essential oils wafted through the air. Instantly, it felt as if I had entered another world, one where stress simply melted away. Minutes later, I was introduced to my masseuse, Nina. She was strikingly beautiful, tall, with an athletic build that suggested she took great care of herself. Her long, dark hair fell in soft waves down her back, glistening under the parlor's gentle lights, accentuating her high cheekbones and delicate jawline. As she led me to the massage room, her captivating green eyes sparkled with warmth and kindness, instantly putting me at ease. The deep tissue massage I'd chosen unfolded like a carefully choreographed symphony. Every movement of her hands was deliberate, soothing, expertly targeting the knots that had lodged themselves deep in my muscles. The oil she used filled the room, their aroma wrapping around me like a warm embrace, drawing me deeper into relaxation. The rhythmic, melodic music in the background was almost hypnotic. Time seemed to disappear as my worries dissolved, replaced by a serenity I hadn't felt in years. Soon I became a regular at Elysium Touch, visiting at least once a week. Each session felt like a mini escape from reality. I even took advantage of their enticing discount packages, and on my last visit, I received nearly 75% off. A deal that made no business sense to me, but who was I to complain? However, when I visited Elysium for the 4th time, I had no idea what awaited me that night. The management called my number, offering a complimentary massage as a reward for my loyalty, saying I only needed to pay for refreshments. In hindsight, that should have set off alarm bells in my head, but all I could think about was Nina. Over the weeks, I had begun to feel an unexpected connection with her. Nina listened, laughed at my jokes, and even shared snippets of her own life. Nina was also the curious sort. She liked to learn more about her clients, and I was happy to share. I told her about where I worked, what I did for a living, and that I had no family to speak of and lived alone, not far from here. Sometimes, I even seriously considered asking her out on a date. But that night, something was off, really off. As the massage began, everything felt familiar at first. Her touch, the soothing oils, the gentle music. But this time, the oils had a stronger scent, almost overwhelming. A strange fuzziness started to creep over me. I tried to stay awake, to focus, but the effort felt futile. My grip on consciousness was slipping, and before I knew it, I was being pulled into a deep, inescapable sleep. When I finally woke up, bright white lights hurt my eyes, and a coldness seeped into my bones. Panic clawed at my throat as I tried to move. I quickly realized that I was strapped to a cold operating table. My heart raced, pounding against my chest like a caged animal. The last thing I remembered was Nina's touch, her smile. But where was she now? And who were all these people? I looked around, my pulse quickening as masked figures surrounded me, their faces obscured by surgical masks. A deep chill settled in my gut as I tried to comprehend the situation.
Ah, you're awake,
a voice said, smooth and eerily calm. It belonged to a man dressed in scrubs, his eyes gleam with a sadistic glint.
Welcome to my operating table. My name is Dr. Harrow, and I'll be your surgeon today.
My mind raced.
What? What's happening? Let me go!
I tried to scream, but my voice was too weak. Dr. Harrow picked up a scalpel, holding it delicately between his fingers, letting it glint menacingly under the bright lights.
This little tool will help us acquire what we need from you, Alex. Thanks to your sacrifice, you'll save a lot of lives and also help us make a lot of money,
he said, as those gathered around him, also dressed in scrubs, nodded in unison, their eyes fixed on me.
Do you want to know what we're going to take from you, Alex?
He continued, smiling as he slowly traced the blade over my body, lingering over my kidneys, lungs, heart, throat, and finally resting just above my eyes. At that moment, the horrifying realization hit me. I had just fallen victim to an organ trafficking ring. I recoiled in terror, frantically trying to free myself, but my hands and feet were bound tightly to the table.
Now let's get ready, shall we?
Dr. Harrow spoke, signaling to one of his assistants, who approached me with a syringe in his hand. I recognized it was anesthesia. They were going to put me to sleep again. Fear clawed at my insides as I thought of being trapped in this filthy makeshift underground clinic. The reality of what was happening, that my body was about to be sliced apart for its organs, hit me like a sledgehammer. My heart pounded in my chest, the weight of my own impending death pressing down on me. Just as the needle pricked my skin, I heard a loud bang from outside the room. The doors of the operating room suddenly flew open, and a group of police officers stormed in.
Police! Hands in the air!
They shouted, guns drawn. Panic swept through the room. Dr. Harrow reacted quickly, yanking my head back and pressing the scalpel to my throat.
Stay back or I'll slit his throat!
His voice cracked and his eyes were wild. I could barely breathe. The cold edge of the scalpel dug into my neck, and every muscle in my body froze. Then, in a flash, a single gunshot rang out. Harrow's body jerked violently, his head snapping back as blood sprayed across my face. He crumbled on top of me, his dead weight pressing me into the table. I screamed, choking on panic as gunfire erupted in all directions between the police and the remaining goons. The operating table jolted, tipping over, and I crashed to the floor. The impact knocked the wind out of me, and before I could process what was happening, everything went dark. When I opened my eyes again, I was in a hospital room. A warm blanket draped over me. Officer Reed sat beside my bed, relief softening the lines on his face.
You're safe now, Alex. We got there just in time. They were about to operate on you, steal your organs,
he said, his voice steady. I blinked, trying to process the whirlwind of events. The massage parlor. Nina. Was she part of this? Reed shook his head.
No. Nina's an undercover agent. We've been investigating Elysium Touch for weeks. They specifically target individuals who live alone and have no close living relatives. It's a massive organ smuggling ring. They research their clients, choosing those who fit their profile. That's how they stayed under the radar for so long. You were almost their next victim.
His words sank in slowly. Nina, she saved me? I asked.
Yes, he confirmed. Her undercover work brought us to you just in time.
The weight of betrayal still settled heavily on my chest even as I learned the truth about Nina. I thought she cared. I thought she was different. I said finally. Reed's expression softened.
Nina did what she had to do in order to maintain her cover. You're lucky to be alive, Alex. These are dangerous people, constantly moving to avoid detection. They've gotten away with it for too long. But this time, we'll make sure they face justice.
I spent a few more days in the hospital, my body slowly healing. But my mind remained trapped in that cold, sterile operating room. Nightmares plagued my sleep, visions of Dr. Harrow looming over me, scalpel in hand. Despite the lingering fear, I forced myself to return to some sense of normalcy, pushing through the unease that clung to me like a second skin. I had been given a second chance, and I wanted to make it count, even though it was difficult to find peace in the chaos. Then, one evening, I saw her. Nina, walking along the sidewalk. For a moment I hesitated, unsure of what to say, but gratitude pushed me forward.
Nina!
I called out, my voice a little shaky. She turned, her eyes meeting mine. I walked over to her. Thank you for saving my life, I said. She gave me a small nod. After a beat, I blurted out.
Would you maybe want to grab a coffee sometime?
She paused, considering, then nodded. Sure, she replied, her voice calm but sincere. A tentative smile passed between us. And for the first time, I felt a flicker of hope. Maybe this was the beginning of healing. Maybe, despite everything, I could find a way to move forward.
I remember how that day started, as normal as it could have started. I went to work like every day and left the office at 6 o'clock, tired and eager to get home. I stopped at the corner to catch a cab. The cab ride was fast and quiet, just the way I liked it. The driver wasn't talking to me and was minding his own business. Some people might not have liked him, but I loved him. During that afternoon, there was no hint of what was about to happen. Not the slightest sign that something wasn't right. Arriving at my destination, I got out of the cab and thanked the driver. Then I started walking towards the door of my building. I could hear the driver start the engine and drive away. I was about to arrive at my front door, and that's when everything fell apart. Before I could process it, I felt a sharp blow in the back of my head. My body collapsed, and although I tried to struggle to stay conscious, I felt someone put a handkerchief with a strange smell in my nose. Then everything went black in an instant. I didn't even have time to scream or call for help. The last thing I felt before I lost consciousness was someone dragging me towards a vehicle. When I woke up, I was lying in the back of a pickup truck. I was blindfolded and my wrists were bound. The pain in my head was unbearable. I didn't know where I was or how much time had passed since the blow. I tried to move, but the blow started again, this time harder, more precise. They were tearing me apart, little by little. I don't know how long it lasted. I guess a few minutes that felt like weeks. I lost all sense of time between the darkness and the pain. It was only when the van stopped and I was being dragged out of it that I realized this wasn't a simple robbery or random attack. something much darker was going on. As soon as I began to realize what was happening around me, I felt the strange-smelling handkerchief again. This time, I understood better. It was chloroform. As that thought went through my head, I fell back to sleep. I woke up in a bed. The first thing I noticed was the silence. It was very quiet. I opened my eyes slowly, and what I saw threw me off even more. I was in what appeared to be a massage parlor. Everything was spotlessly clean. The walls were bright white, the floor was polished wood, and the air smelled of eucalyptus. It was so surreal that, for a moment, I thought it all had been a bad nightmare. I slowly sat up, only to feel a twinge of pain in my head and shoulders. I looked down and saw that one of my feet was handcuffed to the massage bed, a large, solid bed fixed to the floor. I couldn't move my leg more than a couple of inches. I tried to pull my foot out, but the chain was strong. My hands, however, were free, which puzzled me even more. Before I could fully process the situation, the door to the room opened. A man walked in, dressed like a doctor, with a perfectly pressed white coat and a cold expression on his face. He didn't say anything at first, just walked towards me with a professionalism that chilled me to the bone. "Lie down on the bed. It's time for your massage." My mind could not process what I was hearing. I tried to ask what was going on, but before I could articulate a coherent sentence, the man spoke again. "I won't repeat myself. Lie down. Now." I had no intention of obeying. Fear and confusion mingled in my mind, but one thing was clear. I had to fight. I sat up in the bed and, in a desperate attempt, threw a blow at the man. It was a mistake. He didn't even flinch. He simply parried it. He grabbed my fist with brutal force, and with a quick twist, I felt my wrist snap. I fell to the ground, screaming in pain. I couldn't move my hand, and the pain was unbearable. Before I could react, the man punched me in the stomach with surgical precision. The air escaped my lungs, and I writhed back on the bed, unable to breathe for a moment. "This will hurt like hell. But it may hurt a lot more if you don't cooperate." His tone was cold and clinical. He wasn't angry. He wasn't enjoying the situation. It was just work for him. I stood there, motionless, as he reached over and began to massage my back. The massage was good. It didn't hurt. He wasn't torturing me. It was just a normal massage.
"I'm sure you're wondering what you're doing here."
"I don't care. I just want to leave."
"You see, I have a little obsession with human anatomy. It all started when I was working as a torturer for the Mafia. But that was a long time ago. Now I'm retired."
Out of absolute nowhere, the man fractured my shoulder with a simple movement. My body trembled, unable to comprehend how someone could do something like that so easily. I tried to move, but before I could react, he grabbed my head and smashed it against the massage bed, a hard, stone-cold surface. I was left dizzy and confused, but crying and putting up no fight.
"Now I do this for pleasure. You know, I want to see how far I can go. There are no bosses to rush me anymore. No goals but my own. And if I fail, well, it can happen. It's all part of learning. If I want to, I can kill you."
"Please stop."
"Or, if I want to, I can break every bone in your body and leave you as a flabby mass. I don't even have a plan. I love that. It takes all the stress out of it."
I didn't understand how anyone could say these things so calmly. My shoulders were broken, and he continued to work on my body as if it were a carpentry project. Slowly and slowly, to make me feel the pain, he moved one of my shoulder blades. I felt like a baby. My only way to show resistance was to cry. I couldn't stop it. The tears fell on their own. I couldn't act brave. Why would I? I couldn't fight, and he knew it. Then he concentrated on my hands. He broke each one of my fingers, one by one. My mind could no longer process anything. The pain was all that was left. My body was shutting down. I was on the verge of passing out when I felt an electric shock run through me. He had pulled a taser out of his pocket.
You can't pass out. If you do, this is pointless.
I didn't want to go on anymore. My will had broken, along with my bones. I just wanted it all to end. It didn't matter how. I just wanted it to be over. But just as I was about to give up completely, the doors burst open. A man came running in. He was covered in bruises, with the same chain on his ankle as me. He jumped on the torturer, screaming in desperation. He threw himself on the man with all his might, and for a moment, I thought he had a chance. But it wasn't enough. The doctor took him down easily, and with the same precision with which he had torn me apart, he struck him a sharp blow on the neck. The man fell to the ground, choking. The doctor recovered and turned to me. However, when it seemed that all was lost, the man got up again. With one last breath, he lunged at the torturer and put his hands on his neck. The man squeezed as hard as he could until the doctor stopped moving. Both fell to the ground. The other prisoner stopped breathing from the blow to his neck. I watched, unable to move. My body shattered, while the two bodies on the floor lay motionless. I don't know how much time had passed. There was no clock there to corroborate it. Everything became a blur of pain and silence. When the police finally arrived, they found three bodies in that room. Two were dead, and I, barely conscious, was surrounded by the worst nightmare of my life. It was more than 30 hours without drinking or eating anything, next to those two corpses. But you know, I was alive.